Bringing you everything under the Disney umbrella. Network 1901.
Hey everyone, Shannon here. This week's story is from Madge. She's a lover of romance and a fangirl extraordinaire. So without further ado, welcome to episode 33 of Lipstick and Lightsabers.
Say I got into Star Wars. I was 7, maybe 8, which is quite a bit younger than I feel is recommended. We had the movies around the house. My mom is a fan, I would say. Perhaps not like a huge fan, but you know, she makes a point of like seeing every movie in theater when they come out. So there's that. The rest of my family, not so much. I just remember being completely enamored with one Anakin Skywalker. He had everything going for him. Like, how could I not? He was definitely my first crush as a kid. Like, he had the beautiful, typical scar going down one eye. He had the luscious, gorgeous hair. He had the moody personality. I feel like I'm just describing Ben Solo right now. I guess my tastes didn't really change. I understood the actual story of the prequels all that much. I mean, obviously I knew that it was about Anakin's descent to the dark side and, you know, the rise of Darth Vader, if you will. And, you know, I knew that there was this tragic love story going on between him and Padme, and that it was what would kick off the originals, which I also used to watch a lot as a kid, but never as much as the prequels. And then that's pretty much it. For many years after that, I mean, obviously there were no new Star Wars movies for, 10 years? So I kind of fell out of it. Yeah, I just kind of forgot that Star Wars was a thing. And so in 2015, my mom was like, hey, this new Star Wars movie is coming out. Do you want to go with me? And I was like, sure. But to be completely honest, like, I knew nothing about the movie. Like, I didn't know that a new Star Wars movie was even coming out. Like, I hadn't seen any trailer. No promo. I was a complete blank slate. I didn't go in expecting not to like it or to like it. I kind of just went in expecting to be entertained. So most of the movie is honestly quite a blur. I don't remember much of like my experience as a whole, but there's two scenes that I do remember watching in the theater that, left a particular impact on me. The first one is I can remember in TFA, the moment Kylo is about to take his mask off during the interrogation scene, I remember thinking, he's gonna be ugly. Of course he's gonna be ugly, right? And then he takes the mask off, and I remember my reaction being, what? But he's hot. That just made no sense to me. Cause I was like, but how can he be the bad guy if he's hot? Like, I was so confused. I fully expected him to have like, I don't know, to be like disfigured, to have like, you know, big scars that like completely transform half of his face or whatnot. Like, I really expected like the monster that he was made out to be, but he wasn't. And that shocked me when Adam Driver's face was revealed, and I was like, what is going on here? The second scene that I remember, which is the only other scene that I remember watching in the theater, was the moment Kylo is being convinced to turn to the light side by Han Solo. his father. And I remember, like, really being convinced myself that he was going to turn. And then he didn't. And I was like, oh. But yeah, those are the only two things I remember watching in the theater. And then for 2 years after that, I didn't really think about the movie. And a few months before TLJ came out, a friend of mine sent me Raylo fan art. She DM'd me Raylo fan art by mistake. And she was like, oh, sorry, like, didn't mean to send this to you. And I was like, whoa, wait, but what is this? Like, who are they? And she was like, oh, it's Rey and Kylo from The Force Awakens. And I was like, the Star Wars movie? And she was like, yeah. Like, if you have to know anything about me, it's that all you have to do to convince me to watch or read anything is to send me fan art. Like, fan art has converted me to so many fandoms. Like, it's made me a fangirl of so many things. I read the Court of Thorns and Roses series by Sarah J. Maas because of fan art. I read her Throne of Glass series because of fan art. I watched 8 seasons of Voltron Legendary Defender because of fan art for a ship that did not sail. So yeah, so me being me, when she sent the fan art, like, the conversation kind of ended there, but I was like, Rey and Kylo from Star Wars. I was like, I don't remember that from the movie. So I searched for all the fan art I could find, all the meta, all the YouTube, you know, videos and all the podcasts. I found the, what was called the Star Wars Connection YouTube channel, which is a podcast. It's a big part of what, you know, convinced me that Raylo was a thing. They made me fall in love with this idea of the light and the dark coming together, like yin and yang, and the balance of the force, and you know, the idea of redemption and love and sacrifice and family and belonging. And I was so blown away by the work that these people were putting into this ship and into, you know, uncovering what is the meaning of the sequel trilogy, what is the message of it, what's the story here, why are these characters relevant, how do they work together. The villain that you think is a villain is not the villain, you know, he's a protagonist, he's a co-protagonist with this other girl. And they're opposites, but yet they're similar in so many ways. And it was just fascinating. I am a massive romance reader. And so the concept of, you know, the bad guy with the good girl, or enemies to lovers, like, that is nothing new to me, obviously, especially enemies to lovers, like, that is my crack. On a very surface level, Raylo was nothing new. However, what I did find especially interesting and what was new to me was the possibility of them meeting in the middle instead of simply having the guy become good or whatnot. You know, there's a possibility that Ben could just completely go to the light and I would be pleased still. I mean, they are already in the middle, aren't they? Like, yes, Rey is light, but she struggles with the dark, and Ben is dark, but he struggles with the light constantly. And so they are kind of already in that middle, and they're very much exploring that in this sequel trilogy. And that was what was interesting to me. That was what I hadn't seen before in the books that I read. And so I kind of just, you know, fell right into it. I just became a Raylo right away. It wasn't hard for me anyway, because as a typical fangirl, I go from 0 to 100 in 5 seconds. Like, you give me just a little, you know, tidbits of info, and I'm like, yeah, I ship it, sure. Complete fangirl right away, you know? From there, I was like, okay, so now I have, like, all the info that people have, you know, dug up from the movie, TFA. And so I went back and I watched
TFA with this new lens. I hadn't seen the movie in 2 years, and I'm less than 2 years. And I watched it again, and I was seeing all those little things that I had completely missed the first time around. But I was seeing all those things, and I was like, oh my god, yes, how did they find that? And this and this and that, and you know, Beauty and the Beast references, and Phantom of the Opera references, and all those things. Mythology, whatever it was, Hades and Persephone. Like, it was amazing to watch it knowing all those things. And I mean, I watched it, I'm not even kidding, I watched TFA 10 times in less than 2 weeks when I found out about Raylo. Like, I was obsessed. I'm not kidding when I say that I go from 0 to 100 very quickly. And for some time after that, it was mostly just me fangirling with my two other friends. I still wasn't really a part of the fandom. You know, I wasn't on Twitter or anything. I was kind of just doing my own thing and fangirling in my own space and with my own friends. And, you know, it kind of stopped at that. I then saw TLJ and I was like, oh my god. I mean, here's the thing. I was like, oh my god, the Raylos were right. But I also had a moment of doubt, and I feel like I'm the fangirl that sometimes doubts. That's why I'm so grateful that there are people out there with the knowledge that I don't have, that can go, no. This is why it's going to go this way. And rest assured, it's going that way. And you don't need to worry. This is normal. This is part of the hero's journey or the heroine's journey or whatever it is. You know, like, I don't know Joseph Campbell. I don't know a lot about mythology. I grew up in a Francophone family. And so a lot of the stories and whatever it is that people are drawing from to explain Raylo are things that I unfortunately did not grow up with. And so I don't have a lot of knowledge in that stuff. That's why it's so fun to have people like that can do the research for me. And that I can just ingest all the research. But to be completely honest, when I saw TLJ the first time, I was like, oh my god, is there really a bond between Rey and Kylo? This is crazy, this is amazing, the Raylo have predicted it. But then at the end, when the door, the infamous door closed on Kylo, I was like, oh god, you know, I was one of those. I was one of the... one of the people that was like, okay, it's done now. It's done. The door is closed. But again, like, this is why fandom is amazing. Because, like, the fandom reminded me, no. A door is a good thing, you know? A door can open once more. It is not completely shut, you know, forever. It can open and it will open. And again, we were completely right, because all the interviews so far have made it very obvious that not only will the door open again, it will open even wider, which is amazing. But so yeah, I saw TLJ and that's when I decided, all right, I want to be more a part of this fandom. And that's when I joined Twitter again, not really knowing, you know, if much was happening over there. I just had this feeling that, like, yeah, why not, you know, check out what's going on Twitter. I had tried the whole Tumblr thing pre-TLJ. I've never been a fan of Tumblr. I just can't figure out how it works. I just find it too complicated, so I kind of gave up on that. And joined Twitter instead. And I've been there ever since for the past 2 years, but it's been amazing just feeling the excitement, being a part of the discussion, or, you know, even if I don't necessarily come up with, like, the brightest, most amazing concepts or speculations or theories or whatever, headcanons. I'm still, you know, I'm still a part of the conversation, I feel like. And if that just means shouting out someone that I feel is doing amazing work, or, you know, shouting out someone that, like, wrote an amazing meta, then that's, you know, that's being a part of a fandom too. That's participating in some way, in some capacity, because you're shining a light on someone that worked really, really hard on something for probably many, many hours. I'm just so thankful that I get to experience this. And if, when, you know, The Rise of Skywalker comes out, I'm sure there's gonna be, like, a lot of celebrating, and then getting to see all the new merchandise that we haven't been able to see because it's extremely spoilery. I'm excited for that. I'm sure that the fandom will evolve from there and maybe turn into something a little bit different, whether it's, you know, people will find a new ship to ship, or you know, a new TV show, whether it's The Mandalorian or, you know, Rian Johnson's trilogy that's coming in, we don't know when, hopefully soon. I mean, I'll still be here, I think. I've grown to love not just this part of the fandom, and not just Reylo, but, you know, I've grown to love Star Wars for what it is also. It means a lot to me now. For me to love a Star Wars, there has to be something truly special going on. Any piece of literature, film, or TV that, you know, garners that love from its audience to the point where people want to create content for it, you know, want to, you know, create an entire podcast dedicated to this, or, you know, make art dedicated to this, or, you know, write fanfics about the story, or whatever it is, like, it makes people dream. And honestly, I feel like if I were a creator, that's the one thing I would strive for. It'd be to make people dream. And that's it for me. I want to thank both Shannon and Alex for letting me come on here and tell you my story. I could have, you know, talked about Star Wars and Reylo and Ben Solo and all that jazz for hours. So try to stay, you know, concise. I don't know that I succeeded, but anyway, thank you for reaching out, and I hope that this was what you're looking for.
You've been listening to Lipstick and Lightsabers, presented by Network 1901. This week's story was from Madge, and you can find her on Twitter at WhiteThornSolo. If you'd like to be part of the show, you can send in your Star Wars story at lipsticklightsabers1901@gmail.com. I'd like to give a special thank you to our patrons for making this show happen, and if you want to reach out to us, you can find us at lip_lightsabers, and myself at McCarter Shannon. I'll see you guys next time. Bye!